Beans, Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we have one huge movie to talk about and a couple smaller movies to talk about.
We've got a ton of stuff to talk about, really.
We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about The Wolverine with Hugh Jackman. We're going to talk about The To-Do List with Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Only God Forgives with Ryan Gosling.
Lots of Ryan Gosling.
The Way, Way Back with a jerky Steve Carell. And there's going to be news, and we got a voicemail, and DVDs and Blu-rays, a whole ton of stuff here.
It's a full show.
It is. Yeah. We're crazy. Hold on to your butts, people. Here we go. If you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com or leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Like I said, we're going to have somebody talking on the show. In our voicemail segment.
Yay.
That was an awkward way of saying it. What is going on with my brain today?
I don't know. It's just rollover from last week.
I have low blood sugar. I need to eat something. I always need to eat something. You can go to fatguysinthemovies.com or you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm Katie K Reviews.
And again, did I give that voicemail number twice? I'll give it again.
Okay.
740-205-6456.
Fabulous.
For all those... You know, fans out there, I know you're out there. You should call in. So let's talk top news first. I want to hit one news item.
Let's do it.
Because I think this is more important than anything that happened at the box office this week.
It's a big one.
It is out of Comic-Con and it hit like last Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused people to just go absolutely nuts.
People have lost their minds this week.
Yeah. And even for Comic-Con, they lost their minds.
Yes.
The announcement is... The Superman Man of Steel sequel, it will be coming out in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Not next year.
Not next year.
As they were previously saying.
As previously poorly reported. And it will feature a Superman versus Batman storyline.
Well.
What? I dropped my panties when that happened. It was amazing.
That is a big deal for you.
Yeah.
Because that is your world.
It is.
Oh.
But what's so weird? See, this is why I'm so excited about it. You give me a Batman movie, and I'll sit there and I'll grumble and nitpick and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a Superman movie, I'm going to do the same thing because I grew up with those comics.
Yep.
Give me Superman versus Batman, and I'm like, they could just be awful. And I would love every minute of it just because this is like my geek out moment. It is the marriage of these two things. And even though people rumored about, and then they have these comics that had this storyline occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
The Superman-Batman dynamic's been all over the map throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even now, they could pretty much do anything, and it wouldn't be inconsistent with anything.
It's going to be crazy.
Are you excited for it?
Well, the big question for me is, who is Batman?
Yeah.
That is the big question.
Pauly Shore.
Christian Bale is not Batman anymore. No. He has said time and time again, he's done. So, who do we have?
Do you think Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be a terrible idea to put as Batman?
I think he'd be a pretty bad idea. And I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You're a big fan.
Love Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but...
you know what
so
I think
much.
They should do? They should just cast Robert Downey Jr. as Batman just to piss everyone off.
It would work.
People just go, what? No, he's Iron Man and Batman. It's the same character. What?
People's heads would explode.
They
seriously.
Would. You would need a mop anywhere you go.
There would be no more Comic-Con because everybody's head would explode and nobody would be left to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, remember how last year somebody got stabbed in the face during one of the Hall H things?
That's right. I forgot about that.
This would be along that level. I heard somebody got trampled this year.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not surprised. It's insane. I would not go. You couldn't pay me to go to Comic-Con.
And you used to go.
I did.
Year.
And it's like worse.
Yeah.
I stayed away from Hall H. I've never been in Hall H.
Really?
It is just the worst place in the universe for me. There's just way too many people who don't bathe.
Nice.
Or bathe. It doesn't matter because you got to wait in line. People are like camping out the night before.
Yeah.
If I got in line now, I might get in next year. But the other thing about this is it's 2015.
Yes.
We talked about this last week, didn't we? Or the week before?
At some point, we've talked about this.
You're going to need a raincoat in the Magical Studio in the Sky. Throughout 2000, because we've got, what, Superman versus Batman,
mm-hmm.
Bond 24,
yep.
Jurassic Park sequel, Independence Day sequel, Avengers sequel. There's another one, the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
We'll talk about that more.
That also came up this week, yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit, because I want to get to the box office first.
Yeah.
You don't want to get to the box office, because you were a little off.
I was a little off. We were all a little off, though. You were a little off, too.
I was a little off, but at least I was... Some people were predicting $25 million for The Conjuring. It made $41
million. I know. Seriously, the box office this summer has been all over the place.
What is going on? It is like a teenage
girl. There is no predicting this anymore.
Yeah. It's like Carrie from...
Nice.
I'm delicately tiptoeing around a subject area here that's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Anyways...
I'm so used to it.
But yeah, $42 million was actually what it came in at.
It's insane.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
And then Despicable Me 2 came in still at number 2 with $25 million.
Yeah.
It's at $276 million.
Which.
Huge.
It was okay.
Yeah. Why is the people going so nuts? I saw it again this week.
Did you?
I took my son to the drive-in.
Right. And?
It was, now that I knew what I was getting into.
Is it better now?
It's better. Okay. I liked it better. It goes back over the hump from not liking it to like.
Does it maybe kind of rock now?
It maybe kind of rocks.
Okay, there you go.
I may have been a little too harsh on it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Gru. And then Turbo, which you said was going to win with, $180 million?
Yeah, $7,000.
It made $25 million for the, it made $21 million, but for the 5-day spread, $31 million. Which is low on the end.
It is low.
And here's one of my theories as to why. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people loft the Ryan Reynolds theory. Because Ryan Reynolds was also in the box office with RIPD, which came in at 7.
With a measly $13 million.
$13 million.
That's really sad.
Not good, Ryan.
So apparently we don't care about Ryan Reynolds anymore.
Yeah. But I also think I was talking to somebody who's boyfriend or husband is into IndyCar.
Okay.
And they're saying, this was an attempt to try and get more interest in IndyCar because, like, Cars and Cars 2 is NASCAR.
Right.
And this is IndyCar because it's open wheel and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of that nonsense.
Yeah. I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, see?
This is my background we're talking about.
That's
here.
With your plaid shirts.
I'm all about the cars, my friend.
But... Did you end up going to see Turbo?
I didn't. No, I missed it.
Well, you might if you're a big racing fan.
I will. I will catch it at some point.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Cool. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is it's whenever they try and push a sport on the American audience, it sometimes doesn't work. And we've seen that with MMA recently.
Yeah.
With Here Comes the Boom and Warrior, where they're like, this is the new sport of the future, and nobody agrees with them.
Right. Nobody cares.
Yeah. So, yeah, Turbo did not do well.
No.
It's already geared up for all this marketing and merchandising, so we'll see what happens.
I know. I keep seeing stuff in the stores. I'm like, Turbo action figures.
Yeah. I think there's some pretty strong kids' movies. It's still going up against Despicable Me 2.
Well, and Monsters University is still at number 10.
Yeah.
And that's been out for over a month.
Yeah, something like that. It's been a while.
So,
what I do find interesting about The Conjuring's $42 million box office, I've got a lot of friends on like Facebook who are
you have friends
crazy. Well, it says friends just because it says friends doesn't mean friends. They're not going to help me move. And they're horror fans, and they're like, isn't it great that a horror movie does well and blah blah blah? Here's the thing, it's a success for the Conjuring's huge success, and I like the movie, and good for them. But we do need some perspective. The reason it's such a success is because it only costs like $13 million to make.
It's true.
This is actually less than the Pacific Rim made its opening weekend, I think.
Yes.
But that's because Pacific Rim cost $190 million.
Right.
So the take home isn't that people like The Conjuring any more than Pacific Rim.
No, it just made more than it cost.
Yeah, it's just you need to not spend $190 million
exactly
on movies.
Good point.
That's what we need to do. And it's the same thing with, like, Lone Ranger and Man of Steel did well. But when you have these movies that are $100 million, $200 million, $300 million.
Right.
Well.
Yeah. That's not going to do any good.
Same thing with The Purge. The Purge made, like, $25 million its opening weekend, which is disastrous for Lone Ranger.
Exactly.
But there you go.
But for a horror movie, it's huge.
It's massive. So, yes. The Conjuring. James Wan, good job.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, James Wan.
Yes.
I'm still not going to watch Dead Silence again because that thing was terrible. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Wolverine.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yes.
We have a jam-packed show this week.
That's right.
Lots to talk about.
Let's get going.
Let's do it.
Let's start off with a voicemail.
Yes.
We're shaking things up, people.
Whoa!
Throwing the voicemail up here early. And it's
this is crazy.
It's relevant to what's going on. We're not just doing this because we had like aneurysms last night and don't know what we're doing.
It could happen.
Yeah, possible. I feel one coming on. Anyways, we've got a voicemail from our good friend Thomas from Seattle.
Hello, Thomas.
Yes, he has a question about the new Wolverine movie, so let's hear what he has to ask.
It seems like Hugh Jackman and James Mangold, the director, have really been using social media, Hugh Jackman especially, to apologize for, you know, the previous Wolverine movie and say they've learned their lessons this time and it's going to be an authentic Wolverine movie. And I have to say, it kind of reminds me of Sam Worthington during the press round for Wrath of the Titans, and he kept on saying, you know, we've learned lessons from Clash of the Titans, this one's going to be a lot better, and it just leaves this bad feeling in my mind that, is this a repeat of Wrath of the Titans, because it seems like people like that one even less. Okay, I'll talk to y'all soon, and keep up the good work. Bye. Thomas from Seattle.
What is your take
don't
on this
point
first?
That pen at me.
It's
terrifying.
It's the
when
safe
you do
end.
That.
You're not going to lose an eye with this.
I could really lose an eye.
Hard.
Pointing your pen at me.
Pointing your pen.
So you were saying?
I'm asking, letting you start.
Well, I think this is one of those things that it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Directors, stars, they go back and they're like, oh yeah, remember that movie? It was a terrible movie. Well, you made it and you put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So in doing this, the directors and the stars, they're letting you know that they've heard all the horrible things you had to say about their last movie and they're trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they know what they're doing when they're fixing it. So it could go either way.
Yeah. Well, I think also part of it is when you make a movie, you're in love with it.
Oh, yeah.
And you suffer from fatigue of seeing it so much that you accept that that's the best thing to do.
Yes.
And we've all seen movies where you're watching a clip from it and you're just like, oh, this is going on too long. Mm-hmm. But they've convinced themselves that it was the right decision.
Oh, yeah.
So just because the director tells you my movie's better than the last movie this other guy directed
mm-hmm.
does not necessarily mean it's true.
No.
It doesn't mean it's wrong either. And
like I said, could go either way.
And knowing I think the Wrath of the Titans is a good example.
No.
Of that. In that, I don't know, maybe they did change some things up. The 3D was better in Wrath of the Titans.
Well, there you go. They learned one thing.
But the thing is, generally, the complaints you heard on Wrath of the Titans, or Clash of the Titans, was the 3D and Sam Worthington.
Yeah.
The 3D was better because technology has ascended, and back then it was one of the first.
Well, and it was one of those things that they
rushed,
squeezed in at the last minute,
yeah.
And it was just a disaster.
It was not well converted.
No, it was terrible.
But they did not get rid of Sam Worthington. So the fact that Sam Worthington was out there telling people that they fixed the problems with...
but I'm still in the movie!
with Clash of the Titans pretty much shows that they did not fix the problems with Clash of the Titans. Again, Sam Worthington heard that he didn't think that it was really, you're bad for this movie. He thought of something else that his actor ego got around. So, I mean, Hugh Jackman was the only one of the two, because James Mangold didn't direct the other Wolverine movie. Mm-hmm. That was Gavin Hood. So, of course, James Mangold's going to have a different take on it.
I'm way better.
Yeah, I did a better job. And then
that's ridiculous.
Hugh Jackman's going to be like, well, of course, it's better because the fans have said so, and I'm being a good, diligent performer.
Please come see our movie.
Yeah. So I think it just means, in essence, it means nothing.
Yeah.
This is like when Spielberg came back and was like, well, yeah, you know, Indiana Jones 4 was kind of silly to have aliens. It's like, dude, you were the director. Not only were you the director, you're Steven freaking Spielberg.
It's true.
You're not just some young punk off there. This is not David Fincher talking about Alien 3 when he was nobody.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah. And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Thank you for the call, Thomas from Seattle. Let's now talk about the Wolverine After the events of X-Men: The Last Stand, Wolverine is getting over the death of Jean Grey and finds himself in the middle of a Yakuza war.
I've been trying to find the Wolverine for over a year.
It's not who I am anymore.
My employer wants to say thank you for saving his life all those years ago.
I wanted to offer you something no one else can. A gift. You have struggled long enough. I can end your eternity. Make you mortal.
Always whenever I review something like from either X-Men or the Avengers, something from Marvel, I always like to preface this. I've never read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I also want to say on this one, I liked X-Men Origins Wolverine to a degree. I mean, it wasn't great.
It wasn't horrible.
It wasn't.
I didn't mind it.
It was okay. It wasn't as
good
as the
other ones. It was a mess.
It had problems.
But it was still entertaining.
It was a popcorn movie in my estimation.
Me too.
And most people that I know who dig on that, it's the same thing about X-Men Last Stand. When people say X-Men Last Stand was the worst X-Men ever, I'm like, why? Well, they totally ruined the Dark Phoenix storyline. I go, I never read that. Well, they totally ruined it. I'm like, that's great. But I didn't read it, and most of the viewing audience didn't read it.
Right.
And when people complain about X-Men Origins Wolverine, they're like, man, it made Deadpool was terrible. I go, well, I don't know anything about Deadpool. I never read the comics. And I know he's a very popular character. He's kind of the Lobo of the Marvel Universe. But I've never read it. So they can do whatever. They can make him wearing a propeller beanie and be like, and I'd be like, that wouldn't ruin it. Maybe dumb.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would necessarily ruin Deadpool for me because I never saw Deadpool.
Nobody cares about Ryan Reynolds anymore.
Well, nobody does. Well, what's funny is I had a conversation with Nick Haram, who from Movies Hate You Too, and On the Marquee and new to Netflix. And the big reasons he gave me why he hated X-Men Wolverine, the Origins Wolverine, was A, the Hummers. They had Hummers in the movie, and they hadn't been invented at the time the movie was taking place.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's my grandfather kind of comment of they don't ride horses like that.
Well, Nick hates Ryan Reynolds.
And that's the thing. He's like, then it was Ryan Reynolds. And I'm like, Ryan, he's barely in the movie. And
he has serious issues with Ryan Reynolds.
He does. Yeah. I think if Ryan Reynolds just comes near a movie, if he visits the set, Nick probably doesn't like the Avengers because Ryan Reynolds was dating Scarlett Johansson when it was made. So, I mean, that's, you know, so if you are a vehement anti-Ryan Reynolds, person, not fan, but anyways, going back to the Wolverine.
Yes, let's do that.
There's some things I liked about it. I liked the fact it was kind of a one-off story.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like it was trying to propel this huge X-Men mythology. It also was a little more self-contained. They did not lay waste to an entire city at the end of the movie, which is kind of a relief because they've been doing that a lot.
It happens every week.
Every time. And I like Hugh Jackman. He was really good. The problems I had with it is there's so much angst about Jean Grey and so much moping. I felt like I was in a Twilight movie at times. It's like he has like 28 dreams about her, and he's just like, no, Jean, blurdy, blurdy, blurdy. He actually literally says that. No,
does he?
No.
I can totally see him saying that.
That would be funny, though. And also, the cast was The cast was sometimes good, sometimes bad. The love interest, no chemistry whatsoever with Hugh Jackman.
Which is a shame, because it's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, it's Hugh Jackman. And then there's like the Viper, the one of the mutants, the bad woman. She's like really gorgeous and has a great body, but she's like worse than January Jones. And just because you're pretty does not mean you're going to be a good actor.
No.
So, and it gets really silly and goofy and predictable at the end. But overall, it's an okay summer movie.
Okay.
But I liked Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine better.
Really?
All right, so I'm going to actually say the Wolverine kind of sucks.
There you
just
go.
Barely. When we come back, we're going to talk to the to-do list and Only God Forgives and The Way Way Back and DVDs.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer-Kramer. Oh, it's a week. It is a crazy week.
I know.
Yes. So let's get on to some of these smaller movies that we have this week, because there are a bunch of them.
The small, cute little movies.
Yes. So up next is The To-Do List. Mm. Aubrey Plaza stars as a book-smart high school grad who sets out to get some serious tutoring in the opposite sex before she heads off to college.
Freshman year is like one big sexual pop quiz. You need to do your homework.
Homework?
Yeah. Let's do this. That's all about
sex, baby. This is everything I need to do before I leave for college.
There are things on this list that I haven't even done, Brandy.
Motor boating. Uncle Andy has a boat. That should be easy.
Hello, welcome to Big Bond. May I help you?
I've decided to lose my virginity to Rusty Waters.
Do you want fries with that?
No.
I'd like to commend you. That was probably the most respectful blurb that I've heard about. Most of the blurbs I'm reading and the synopsis are like, she wants to have sex, so she's losing her virginity.
It's more than just that.
Put the accent.
Well, you know, I'm a girl, so I do things classy.
Yeah.
So this is the movie that I saw while you were seeing The Wolverine.
Yes.
So we split movies this week.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Slightly different.
Yes. Now, I know the one question on your mind in this movie. So you might as well ask it right now.
What, does Aubrey Plaza have a nude scene?
Yeah, see, I knew. That is the first thing. Kevin's obvious question.
That was not going to be my first question.
There is no nudity in this movie. I couldn't believe it because, you know, it's an R-rated movie. If you're going there, you might as well just go there.
Well, it's directed by a woman, though, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
It was written and directed by Maggie Carey, who is married to Bill Hader.
Oh, okay, because he's in it.
There you go. Yes.
But here's my question. Is there now male junk and butts and everything in there?
No. Nothing.
Wow.
Yes. And that kind of surprised me.
Get with the program, ladies.
But it's a girl movie. And really, do we care to see Aubrey Plaza naked?
I do.
No. You're not a girl. You're not the target audience, my friend.
Okay.
I am. So here's the thing.
All right.
This is a kind of movie that's really difficult to do well. Right. You know, the raunchy comedy, it can go too far.
Yeah.
And this doesn't. For the most part, it's handled surprisingly well.
Okay.
And it's still funny.
Okay.
But the thing is, the main character is a mess. And I wanted to like her, but I just didn't like her at all. I mean, she is so rude and so obnoxious and so arrogant. But so completely clueless.
So it doesn't like fit. Because the trailers I've seen, she's... What doesn't wash for me in the trailers is that you're like, she's like, she's this really brainy valedictorian who's got that biting sarcasm of Aubrey Plaza. And I'm like, well, those don't really go together.
No. And she's got two really slutty good friends. Mm-hmm. So you would think she would know something.
Yeah.
And she's got a slutty older sister, played by Rachel Bilson.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she has no idea. I don't even know how she put this list together. She has a list of all of the different experiences that she needs to have.
I've seen the Not Safe for Work poster that lists all of them.
There you go.
And I'm like, if she's doing all that stuff, something's going to rupture.
But the thing is, I don't know how she put the list together because she goes through it later and she's like, oh, I don't know what this is. And then she's like, she pulls out the encyclopedia.
Okay.
Seriously, she pulls out the encyclopedia.
Wait, like a real book?
Yes.
Like old school?
An actual encyclopedia to look these things up.
It takes place in 1993, so those still existed. She didn't go to Wikipedia for this.
And then she's like, oh, well, I can't find it here. Maybe I'll have to ask the librarian. Like, really? Are you that dumb? Because you're supposed to be smart. And you know that you don't want to ask the librarian about this because you kind of know what it is. Don't ask your librarian. So... there are things like that that just made me really crazy about the character. And it's such a dramatic change. You know, she goes from being such a prude to being, like, predatory.
Yeah.
I mean, she is going out there and just tracking guys down. Uh-huh. And it feels a little unnatural. But...
incidentally, Aubrey Plaza, if you're still trying to track anybody down, you can call 740-205-6456 and ask
Leave
for
a
Kevin.
Message for Kevin,
That's
please.
Right.
Yes. But the thing is, there are so many other characters in this movie that make it worthwhile.
Okay.
Because Bill Hader, I don't always love him, but he's really funny here.
I usually really enjoy him in movies. Maybe not Saturday Night Live, but...
the best thing for me is Clark Gregg.
Okay.
Seriously?
He's her dad, isn't
Yes, he plays her dad, who is absolutely, totally outraged by any kind of question she might ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, his her mother is trying to help her through some of these things. And he is just so mortified by everything. And he's hilarious.
Does he ever, like, pull an Agent Coulson and kill somebody with a matchbook and a thimble or something
like
that?
No, but he comes close.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one thing I don't like. There's a new trend now of raunchy comedies, raunchy rom-coms for women. And I'm all for that. The one thing that bothers me is when they... when they have a character, Rachel Bilson in the trailer looks like this, and she was in a movie not too long ago called Life Happens. Did you see that?
I didn't, no.
And it's about Kristen Ritter's in it and Kate Bosworth, and they're supposed to be the modern sort of Sex and the City kind of suburbanite kind of
thing. Oh, right, yep.
And what always bothers me about these movies is that sometimes they have these characters that are just raging sluts that will sleep with anyone, and the justification is, oh, well, you have guys in these movies like that. I'm like, well, but the problem is in a movie like, say, American Pie, which is about guys losing their virginity.
Right.
The raging slut is Stifler, and he's played as a buffoon.
Right.
And or if you have a movie where there is somebody who's extremely promiscuous and having sex with everybody, they kind of grow and learn that there's more to life than that. And I've seen movies sometimes do this, and they just are like, well, let's just have a chance to have women swear and be obnoxious.
Right.
But they don't actually put any sort of moral standing behind it.
It does have some kind of a message in the end.
Okay.
It's a little bit...
twisted?
Yeah.
It's like Porky's is about Pee-wee losing his virginity, but it's almost like an afterthought at the end. They're like, oh yeah, we haven't resolved this.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, in the end you're like, okay, they're trying to say something. I'm not entirely sure what, but whatever.
Sure.
You know, it's funny. So there you go.
Well, what's your final grade?
I will give it a Kinorox.
Okay, Kinorox. I might see it. Maybe.
Yeah.
That whole no nudity thing.
I know. I kind of figured that would drive you away.
Shame on you, Aubrey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you. All right, let's go to you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move on to The Way, Way Back, which is another movie we're going to talk about this week. It's in limited release, opening in a wider release this week. A 14-year-old boy comes to terms with his life while vacationing for the summer with his mother and her caustic boyfriend.
Ooh, caustic.
Duncan, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think you are?
A 6.
I think you're a 3. Since I've been dating your mom, I don't see you putting yourself out there, bud. You can try to get that score up at my beach house this summer.
Sex here, huh?
Something like that.
It's like spring break for adults.
This is Joan and Kip.
I'm the one who's not grinding on you right now.
Enjoy therapy.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You're having way too much fun. It's making everyone uncomfortable.
Wow. I'm just kidding. That wasn't even my best stuff.
Yeah, some of the people who did Little Miss Sunshine, Jim Rash, who won for The Descendants, won an Oscar for The Descendants, and plays the dean in Community. He's in it and helped write it. This is very much like Little Miss Sunshine, where it deals with some nasty things in relationships.
Okay.
It deals with some uncomfortable things, and it has some ups and downs with emotions, but ultimately it's a charming, lovable movie. And it's very uplifting, and it really makes you feel for the characters. What I also loved about it is Steve Carell plays an a-hole in this movie.
Ooh.
And I've always wanted to see him do it. The closest he ever got was Evan in the Bruce Almighty series.
Yeah, that's true.
In the first one, and he's just kind of stupid in that one.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he plays a full-on jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's so interesting about it is he still delivers it like Steve Carell. So he still delivers it as the most likable guy in Hollywood. Yet you're like, what an a-hole. You just like can't stand the guy.
Nice.
And it's a sweet movie. It's a great little coming of age story.
Mm-hmm.
I really think this is one that you're going to want to watch as we get into award season.
Right.
We'll get screeners for
it. We will.
But it's one of those that I would not be surprised if you start seeing it show up on some lists for ensemble and smaller markets and for ensembles and also writing is where you're going to see it. So, yeah, to me, it's very much like the Little Miss Sunshine of today.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. It's one of those that I'm glad to see it in limited release. I'm glad to see it expanding out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that's going to be kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit because it's getting a wider release now. But
it's always tough with those in the summer. There's always one or two that comes out in the summer that it gets a lot of buzz, but not that many people go to see it because they're going to see The Wolverine.
But it might get nice legs like Aubrey Plaza. Anyways, for my review, it rocks. Totally rocks. We got to go to a break. When we come back, Only God Forgives.
and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Light it up!
We have one more movie to talk about.
That's right.
Up next is Only God Forgives. Ryan Gosling stars as a quiet, lonely Bangkok drug dealer who's forced to deal with the consequences after his brother is killed. Thank you very much for that.
That's the most amazing introduction to anything. What was it? Read it again. How do you describe him?
Quiet, lonely Bangkok drug dealer. It is exactly what he is.
I know.
See the movie.
That's what's so amazing about it is that just that sounds like a personal ad. Lonely, angry Bangkok drug dealer.
Seriously, there's a great scene where he sits in I don't know like some kind of a club on a couch by himself and stares at a kind of lethargic dancer.
Mm-hmm.
This is that kind of movie.
Okay. A lethargic dancer.
Yes. She's not moving much. And then he has some weird visions of something. I don't know.
Your original description is way more coherent than this. Then this thing happened and Bowers something.
That is this movie. Something happens and I'm not entirely sure what it is. So it's a good thing that I wrote up some kind of description of this movie.
You made it sound incredibly appealing in that first sentence.
Well, there you go. Oh. It's my job.
All right. So Only Gosling Forgives. How does this roll?
Now, this movie is kind of like a really big, pretty poster of Ryan Gosling.
Oh. I've got one of those in my bathroom.
I bet you do. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, this is a really quiet movie. Mm-hmm. It's Nicholas Winding Refn who did Drive,
mm-hmm.
which also starred Ryan Gosling as a quiet loner. But this time he wasn't living in Bangkok and he wasn't a drug dealer.
Stunt driver, Los Angeles movie star who no one sees.
Yes. Now, here's the thing.
No.
I think it's about 30 minutes before Ryan Gosling even says anything.
See, that's a good thing, though, for me.
And I've read that he only has 22 lines. And he is the star of this movie.
Wait a minute.
He is there all the time.
Is this...
Seriously.
Is this like Rihanna in Battleship? She had like 22 lines and they're all ridiculous.
No, he is like front and center all the time. Mm. It is all about him. You see him staring off into the distance. You see him looking angry. You see him looking troubled. But it's just lots of really pretty pictures of Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have no real idea of what's going on in this movie.
And some violence.
There is some violence, yes. There was one scene that I actually did have to look away, because that's what this guy does. He makes those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's your thing, well, then you can watch about 5 minutes of this movie.
What else has Refn done besides Drive?
Bronson.
Oh, okay.
Which was about a crazy man in England who was in prison.
A lonely
Tom Hardy, and he was amazing in this movie. I actually enjoyed Bronson.
Okay.
So, but this movie is a mystery.
Okay.
Not because you're following along with the characters as they try to figure out what's going on in this movie,
yeah.
But because you will have no idea what's going on in this movie.
Let me ask you the obvious question.
Yes.
Is there a nude scene with Kristen Scott Thomas in it? I know she's older, but I still find her very attractive.
I don't think so, no. She has a blonde wig, though. Have you seen pictures of her?
I'm okay
she's
with
She's got
that.
A long blonde wig, and it took me a second to realize that it was her.
That does it for me.
It was
okay
kind of crazy.
That.
So, this is a crazy movie.
Okay.
It's very artistic. There are lots of pretty shots, all bathed in different colors, and it's Bangkok, and it's pretty, but nothing happens.
Is it a better Bangkok movie than Bangkok Dangerous?
I can't imagine that it is, no.
Is it a better Bangkok movie than Hangover 2?
Bangkok Dangerous has Nicolas Cage, and that's just, that's got to be much better than this.
Okay.
Because, you know, as much as I like Ryan Gosling, he cannot carry a movie just by staring off into the distance.
Did you like Drive?
I was okay with Drive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't love it, but it was okay, yeah.
Okay, so this one you didn't like, so the next movie Refn makes...
I'll like again.
You'll hate.
Oh, yeah?
You're just going down the slit.
It's
liked
true. There was, Bronze, yeah.
Bronson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Final grade?
Kind of sucks.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the box office predictions.
I'm going to give it to Only God Forgives.
Only God Forgives? With $500 billion trillion.
I don't know, Kevin. What do you think this week? Well, I can't imagine.
I am pretty sure the Wolverine is going to win.
You think so?
I have a stinking suspicion.
Do you have a number for me?
Oh, let me think. I didn't. Mm. 65 million.
Okay. I have 55 down because that is the same as X-Men First Class made. And
really? Wait, what? Oh,
the first
weekend. First class. Okay, I thought you said The Last Stand. I'm like, no, that didn't.
No.
Huge its opening weekend. All
so right. I'm going with On Par.
All right, and you say 55 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the fact that it's 2 years difference, 2 or 3 years difference, and the 3D bump, nothing.
Not really, because okay. I don't hear people getting excited about it. So
well, there was one. There was somebody. Somebody got excited about it. It's getting decent reviews. It is getting some decent reviews.
It is, yes.
It's getting better reviews than X-Men Wolverine, mm-hmm. X-Men Origins Wolverine. But the reason that one did as well as it did, because it was out of the gate the first movie of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2009. It was before Star Trek.
Right.
Before Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And it made like 80-some million its first weekend.
Right. Yeah, like 85, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, that was front-loaded because of it being the first one for the summer.
Exactly.
This one is kind of the last one of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last big tentpole.
It's the last weekend of July, and we all know that by August, nothing comes out anymore.
Technically, Smurfs 2 is the last July release, but that's because it opens next Wednesday. They're squeaking it out just to get that July date, because they don't want to say August, because generally the August date can kill a movie. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to do well. I don't see it raking in the money.
Mm-mm.
It'll do well enough, but it's not going to be as strong. And plus, for some strange reason, if it's sort of like a fringe, I'm going to call it a fringe franchise movie.
Okay.
Because it's not in that.
Like The Show?
Wait, huh? No. You mean The Show, The Fringe?
I'm just kidding.
I thought you meant The Show. I mean, like what? Like baseball? Am I in The Show today?
No. Fringe.
No, you have the main. It's like if they did an Avengers movie, but if they had Hawkeye, if they did a Hawkeye movie,
right?
It's not going to be Iron Man or anything like that. So this one, I think it's because it is kind of in the fringe. I don't know where I was going with that. You completely confused me.
Sorry.
Referencing The Show.
I like to throw you off sometimes. It's my job.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's move on and talk about what we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
Woo! Get along, little dogie.
There's nothing this week again.
Yeah, it's kind of thin.
It's kind of a pathetic week.
Really, is they have Trance, which is a decent enough movie, but not
it's
great.
Decent. Danny Boyle. Yeah.
Danny Boyle. The problem is this. Here's its biggest problem: is it's directed by Danny Boyle. So you come to expect it to be fantastic.
It's true.
And then you're just like, it's okay.
He won Best Picture.
Yeah.
From Slumdog Millionaire. Yeah. But Danny Boyle is one of those directors who's all over the place. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get from Danny Boyle.
He doesn't care what he's won.
No. And this is one crazy movie.
It's a good movie.
It is all over the place.
It's good, but it's not fantastic.
No.
And,
it's entertaining.
It's about art heist gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And hypnotism.
There you
go.
And a completely naked Rosario Dawson. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I have to point these things out.
I know you do.
Let's move
on. It's your job.
There's also Twixt, which is not about the candy.
No.
It is a ghost story written and directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Right.
And what I think is so neat about these movies is it's one of those that comes under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of movies that come under the radar that people forget that he did.
Pretty much everything he's done in the last 30 years has gone under the radar.
And
everyone's
like, oh, Godfather. It's not Godfather.
No.
So there's that. There's Ginger and Rosa. Did you watch that?
I didn't. I have a screener, and I didn't do it.
Coming-of-age story about two girls in England around the Cold War.
And Elle Fanning is in it, and she's great, but...
She's good. It's just kind of a dull movie.
Mm.
I watched the whole thing, couldn't tell you anything about it.
So kind of like Only God Forgives.
Well,
Ryan Gosling in it?
There was less of an angsty Ryan Gosling playing a boxer.
Is anyone quiet and lonely? Do they live in Bangkok?
Yeah.
Hmm.
No. There's also Dragons, Riders of Burke. And that's Burke, not Bert. They don't ride Bert from Bert and Ernie.
See, that would be so much fun.
That would be really cool. This is the TV series based on How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done this. DreamWorks has cranked out these with the Penguins of Madagascar.
They always do it. Yep.
Kung Fu Panda. And that's what it is. So it's cute. It's not at the level of what the movies are, but you don't expect it to be.
There you go.
There's also Vanishing Waves, which I haven't seen, but I want to throw it out there simply because it was at the 24-hour science fiction movie marathon this year.
Okay.
I think it's European. And then the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Volume 24 collection, which includes The Slime People, Rocket Attack USA, Village of the Giants, and The Deadly Mantis in My Pantis.
All right.
I it's really not a stinker. I'm going to give Ginger and Rosa its stinker, though. Do you have a
stinker? I am going to give it to Twixt just because I tried to see it when it was at the Toronto Film Festival and I couldn't get in.
Wow.
And
you blame Francis Ford Coppola for that.
And from what I've heard, it's probably best that way. So,
all right.
There you have it.
All right. Well, on that note, we have to go to a break. When we come back next week is, I've got the wrong stuff listed in the show notes. Next week, we've got the Smurfs.
Woo!
And two guns?
Yes.
Yeah,
two guns.
Right. So that's it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.